Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel. The text is John chapter 16, verses 5 through 15. The Reverend Hans Fein is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS, International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from John chapter 16. Jesus said, "Now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, Christ is risen. Recently at my congregation's Sunday morning Bible study, we were watching a video, one of those testimonial videos from the recent so-called revival at Asbury University. A video that was equal parts sad but also illuminating. So in this video, a very excited and emotional young man was talking about how he came to realize that this truly was a revival that was going on. There are two things in particular that he noted. The first was that when he arrived, he ran into a young man who said to another young man who said to him, God told me to come here and pray for someone named whatever that guy's name was. Someone had come to pray for someone with his name. This is not something that you see every day. So this man knew that the Spirit was at work. Then he described something else that he said you didn't see every day, which struck me as rather tragic because it is something we ought to see every day, which was he saw an older woman praying over a younger woman. So in both of these instances, the point was quite clear. For this young man, you can tell the Holy Spirit is at work when the Holy Spirit is doing something remarkable and new. When he's causing things to happen that don't normally happen. When you see spectacle and novelty and uniqueness, that's how you can tell the Holy Spirit is blessing you. Jesus tells us something far different in these words from John chapter 16. Here in these words, we learn that the work of the Holy Spirit is actually quite normal. It is gloriously normal and righteously common. How do you know that revival of the Spirit is happening among you? How do you know that the Spirit is reviving your souls? How do you know when he is filling you with God's strength and victory? How do you know when the Holy Spirit is wrapping you in Christ's victory over the sorrows and sins of this world? You know it when the Spirit speaks the same words he's always been speaking. You know it when he does the things that make your church look like a million other churches throughout time. You know it when he convicts the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. The Spirit will convict the world concerning sin, Jesus says, because they do not believe in me. In other words, the Holy Spirit is at work in the preaching of the law. Once we were separated from God because we did not believe in Christ and his mercy. Once this world was God's enemy because the world hated his son. And once we were a part of that enemy world, lost in the wilderness of sin, trying to extract nectar from the fruits of our own disobedience, but only destroying ourselves with the poison of those fruits. Once we were lifeless because of our hatred of God and hatred of our neighbor. And when the Holy Spirit declares to you, in the reading of the scriptures, in the words of the liturgy, in the preaching of your pastor, when the Holy Spirit proclaims this word of condemnation, then the Spirit is bringing about revival because the Spirit is beginning to revive the dead. The Spirit will convict the world concerning righteousness, Jesus says, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. In other words, the Holy Spirit is at work in the preaching of the cross. Once we were lifeless sinners, lost in the wilderness, buried in the graves of our own making. But then Jesus went to his Father where his disciples could no longer see him. Jesus picked up his cross, died, and went to the grave. There at Calvary, he shed his blood for us, breathed his last for us, and poured out his righteousness upon us. There, as he went to the Father and was, quite ironically, in that same moment, forsaken by his Father, Jesus Christ destroyed the sins that made us dead and covered us in the righteousness that gave us eternal life. Once we were lifeless, now we live with him forever. And whenever you hear these gospel words ring out in your sanctuaries, whenever you hear them in the readings, your hymns, and from the mouth of your shepherd, the Holy Spirit is indeed at work reviving you and restoring you with divine righteousness. The Spirit will convict the world concerning judgment, Jesus says, because the ruler of this world is judged. In other words, the Holy Spirit is at work in the word of the resurrection. Because Christ rose from the dead, because he is risen, then the one who once claimed authority over this world, the one who once called himself the ruler of this world, has been conquered and crushed. The dragon who once stood before your Father in heaven, screaming that you were a sinner unworthy of his love, now has no divine audience. He has been overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And that ancient serpent has now been cast down and stripped of his power, because the nail-pierced yet risen foot of Jesus Christ crushed him underfoot when our Lord walked out of the tomb on the third day. And because of this, then you have no reason to fear. The sorrows of this world will not win. War will not win. Violence will not win. Disease will not win. Idolatry will not win. Your sins will not win. No, Christ your Lord will win, because Christ your Lord has one, which gives you the right to rest in his embrace forever, knowing that the conquered ruler of this world is now judged. And whenever this word of resurrection and hope is proclaimed to you, then the Spirit is indeed bringing about renewal. When you hear the resurrection promise, when you sing it, when you feast upon it in the sacrament, there, the Holy Spirit is present among you, giving you exactly what Jesus has promised you he would give: eternal comfort, eternal peace, and eternal joy, always there for you in the waters of your baptism and in the word of salvation. So be at peace. You don't need something new and flashy to know that the Holy Spirit is at work among you. In the scriptures you've read 10,000 times before, in the liturgy you've sung 10,000 times before, and in the old law and gospel sermon you've heard a variation of 10,000 times before. You have something infinitely greater than spectacle, novelty, and uniqueness. You have the word concerning sin, the word concerning righteousness, and the word concerning judgment, which means you have every blessing the Holy Spirit gives. You have the love of God, the forgiveness of sins, and life everlasting. You have the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.